Good morning, Doug.
How you doing, guys?
Doing all right. I put the C on Austin Matthews for next year. Am I out of line?
Yeah, you're totally out of line.
Oh, man.
Right. You guys in Montreal don't get that. You haven't got it right since John Beliveau, so why would you be the guy doing it?
Because I'm a Hawk fan, and I put a C on Jonathan Toews, and it worked out just fine.
Not bad. You did okay on that one.
I feel like you
made the recommendation on McDavid, too, I'm sure.
Yes, I did. How do you know that? You know everything NHL.
I feel like Yvonne Cornway was an okay captain. I feel like there was some success there, and Bob Gainey, too, you know? So what did you make of... What did you make
You know what? I wouldn't put the captaincy on Matthews right now. I really wouldn't. And it's because of what you're saying. It's a little bit of the Montreal thing. You know what? It's different being the captain in some places, but I think being the captain here is a challenge. It's a tough market, and I wouldn't do it to him at this stage in his career. I think he's going to be the guy, probably in all likelihood, but I don't think there's a panic to do that, and I can't imagine that Babcock would even contemplate that.
Well, who's going to carry the cup next year?
Berkey, they're going to bring Berkey back.
Well, he couldn't wait to make Dion Phaneuf captain, and you and Nick were both right, bang on that. It wasn't the right player, it wasn't the right time. It didn't help Dion. It didn't help the rest of his teammates. It didn't work.
No, and I think with Matthews, why would you even do it? And I know where Elliot's coming from here. I think he is that good. He's that talented. He's going to be that important. I just don't like it happening too quick. And I get the Taves and I get the McDavid. I just think they might be better off to wait a couple of years.
Doug McLean, our guest, NHL and Sportsnet, 8:13 on Brady and Price. I wanted to ask you, from a ex-coach, an ex-GM, the Matt Martin penalty last night. I know Hyman scores like 10 seconds later shorthanded, but it had a lot of people up in arms. There is a time, right? There is a place to go at Petrovich, get the instigator, put your team down for what felt like no reason. And I'm not going to tell you there's no place for standing up for your teammates, and that's obviously what he's there for. What did you see at the given time, and were you the same going, you can't do that in that game?
Yeah, I think, when you're this time of year, those things are over. You know what I mean? I think you're too focused on trying to win games now to take any gambles that could jeopardize your team winning. That's the challenge. I don't have a problem with it early in the season. I don't have a problem with it mid-season. I don't have a problem when you've got a young group. I just think this time of year, you've got to totally block those things out of your repertoire and forget about it. There's no value in it right now, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Go ahead.
I was going to
move on to Chris Chelios' comments coming last week on 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit with Jeff Rieger, warning fans here that they may not see free agents in the future because of how veterans feel about Mike Babcock. Let's have a listen.
I think it's going to help even more that Babs is gone, because those free agents really didn't want to play for Babs.
Is that accurate?
It's very accurate. Ryan Suter's a really good friend of mine. You know, and it's nothing personal, but he's a tough guy to play for, especially for a veteran. If you're a young guy, I think it's great because it was accountability. And if you don't play, you're not going to play. So, but I'm telling you what, no veteran free agent is going to come in and play for Mike Babcock.
You were a veteran. You played for Mike Babcock. Why was it so tough?
I wanted to, because I wanted to stay in Detroit. But no matter what I did, I tried so hard to win his heart over, and I just couldn't. But you know what? It took all those years to finally find a coach that didn't. I wouldn't necessarily not like me, but just didn't want me in the lineup. So maybe he didn't like me. I don't know.
I don't think he liked me either.
Yeah, well, he didn't like a lot of people, so...
All right, it was the bashing Mike Babcock time there in Detroit. What do you make of that?
It surprises me a little bit that Chris would say it. I've heard it 100 times. You know what I mean? I've heard it from around the league, and I've heard it as an excuse why they didn't get free agents in Detroit. I've heard it, and I think a lot of people have heard it. And to me, the guy has done too good a job here this year to even get into that. And for me, I'll tell you what, in my opinion, free agents look for three things. Okay. First thing they look for is money. Okay? Second thing they look for is a chance to win. And the third thing they look at is the city. So I, you know what, I don't hear a whole lot with free agents that get into talking about coaches. I really don't. Because you know why? They come and go. They come and go so fast that you're going to sign a 5 or 8 year deal and you're going to worry about who the coach is going to be. And I know Babcock and all like that it's going to be here for a while, but I don't buy it. I don't buy it. It's, you know, Toronto have a good team. You got an opportunity to come in and play on Austin Matthews' wing. You got a chance to play with a Marner. You got a chance to play with some. I can see free agents coming here. I do. So I'm not, Chris Chelios is a Hall of Famer and he's entitled to his opinion. I just don't buy it.
You were on the bench the first year the Red Wings made the playoffs of a 25-year streak with Brian Murray. Sergei Fedorov's a rookie. The next year you get Lidstrom and Konstantinov. It really built to something. So when you see the Red Wings eliminated from the playoffs last night, again, a quarter century, tell us about that team, what you guys felt like you were building there. Brian comes in off of some successful years with Jacques Demers, but there was pressure on you guys with a lot of really good young European players and Steve Yzerman to win things right away.
Yeah, it was a very interesting time, and you look at that group that we came, you know, being there, you know, was for Sergei. I landed in Detroit and went to the rink the same day as Sergei defected from the Goodwill Games and Fedorov and arrived in Detroit. So we both arrived the same day. Obviously, he had a much bigger impact on winning than
well, and he was under a blanket in the back seat, and you were in
exactly.
The front seat. Yeah,
exactly. But you know what? It was an amazing group to see the Drapers come together there, to see the McCarthys, to see the Marty Lapointes. Those are the names we don't hear about as much as the Yzermans and the Fedorovs and the, you know, the bigger names. But there was a real Osgood. I mean, he was. I remember when he, you know, when we drafted him, I think, oh my God, he looked like a paper boy. He looked like he was 12. You know, so it just is amazing how over the years the group became so good. And obviously after Brian and I left, they brought in some real important pieces, you know, to the team and players to the team, to the group. But it was fun being there. You know what? I think about Nick Lidstrom often. I remember his first game in the NHL, and he was a star. I mean, he was a star the very first game he played, and I don't know if his game ever dropped off. I think it just continued to rise. I mean, he was that good. He you know, he's one of the all-time greats at how important he was. And I remember Kenny saying to me many, many times, Doug, I may retire when Nick retires. I'm thinking, maybe not a bad idea.
With Doug McLean, NHL on Sportsnet. You know, it's funny you mentioned Federer.
Just one quick story, yep. And I know I've told Brady this before, but I remember getting a call at 1 o'clock in the morning. Brian Murray was over scouting in Sweden, and he was watching this defenseman that the Red Wings had drafted. And he phones me at 1 in the morning. He said, Doug, you're not going to believe the guy I just watched. The guy we've got coming, you're not going to believe. His name's Nick Lidstrom. He's going to be better than Al McGinnis. Now, Al McGinnis was a pretty good hockey player. And I said, Brian, go have another beer. We'll talk in the morning. Well, he was right. Oh, my God. Did he become an amazing, amazing, amazing guy and a talent.
You mentioned Fedorov, and it reminds me, they were kids, and I saw them play together. They were 16, 17 years old. They played on a line, Fedorov, Bure, and McGillney, and the Russians didn't come then, right? And were these kids, you know, they only let go the ones that were aged, and Fedorov kind of opened the door. And that is, as much as anything, opened for the influx of young Russian hockey players.
Yeah, I really did. I mean, to leave the Goodwill Games and put a pillow under his bed sheets and sneak down the fire escape and get into Mr. Ilitch's jet waiting to come to Detroit, it was quite a story. It really was. And I remember him meeting him the first day. I mean, he couldn't speak a word of English. He was 19 years of age. It really was. And again, we talked about Lidstrom. When I first watched him, I remember in training camp, was in Flint that year, and Brian and I are sitting in the stands, and this guy comes on the ice for his first practice. I'm thinking, oh, my God, how good is this guy? I acquired him in Columbus years later, and, you know, I brought him in to help Jared out, try to straighten him out. And then I leave Columbus. The guy plays another 10 years almost. Mm-hmm. he was just an amazing specimen. He really was. I had him work with Jaredev. I thought, you know, this is the guy. You know, I went out on a limb to try to bring somebody in to mentor this guy. And after 2 weeks, Sergei came up to me and said, good luck. I'm done with that guy. so much for
last
so
chance
much for mentoring poor Nikolai Jaredev. Anyway,
so
that
Doug
didn't work out.
So, Doug, as one playoff streak ends, another a playoff-less streak, you know, comes to an end as well. Edmonton is in now after winning 2-1 over L.A. Can they make some noise here in the postseason?
Well, it's going to be interesting. You know, are they going to play Anaheim? Are they going to play San Jose in the first round? I mean, or are they going to play Calgary? I mean, who's it going to be, you know, when this is all sorted out? I didn't like their game against Anaheim last week, I'll tell you that. It was a mismatch from day one. Anaheim looked like they've got their game going really well. Obviously, San Jose scary. But look, when you've got McDavid, anything can happen. I'm anxious to see what coaches attempt to do with him in the playoffs with McDavid. I mean, it's challenging on Stars at playoff time because they go after you. The whole focus of the matchup changes dramatically at playoff time. So it'll be interesting to see McDavid. He's so talented. He's so good. He's so tough to stop because of his style of game. So it'll be interesting to see. But, yeah, you know what? I mean, anything can happen. I mean, who knows at playoff time anymore, eh?
Hey, Doug, thanks for joining us. Pleasure talking with you every week.
Take care, guys.